Now, Glenn, now, earlier on, you sent me a little text message.
Saying what? Oh, no, I've not said it again, have I?
No, you haven't sent me a message that says, kiss, 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 love you. This time you put, I got my retro gaming news from Alan Bread coming to iPhone.
Oh, Alien Breed.
Ah, that's what it is. Because
my dyslexic.
You put Alan's Bread. It sounds yummy, though.
Alan's Bread. Alan's sounds like a really cheap Lidl food, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 19. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me once again is
Glen83100.
Hey, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm fine, Andy. How's things with you? I heard you're very tired.
I am shattered, Glen, honestly. These shifts that they've got me doing are just hard work, man. Honestly, all I've been doing is getting about 2 hours sleep, so I am shattered, man. Absolutely shattered.
Are the graveyard shifts, as they call them?
No, well, not really. It's just that I've got to get up at 3 a.m. Ooh. And just this, cut long story short, basically I'm traveling from Essex to to South London, and then South London, getting up in the morning to go to work in East London, and then travelling back to East London, sleeping a bit, and then travelling back to South London. It's hard work, Glenn. Shattered.
It's a train journey. It's very long.
It's a bit of everything. Train journeys, taxis, undergrounds. Let me ask you, Glenn. Oh, before I ask you what you've been up to, let me quickly tell everyone how the show's, what we've got planned. All right, so first of all, we're going to tell you a little bit about what we've been up to, what we've been playing. We've got some site news. We've got the Glenn versus Andy Music Challenge. We've got the topic of the month, which is retro gaming music, or music in gaming, basically. Then we've got, just rounding it up, basically. Now, the next thing I want to quickly announce, Glenn, is this show is going to be pretty much 98% non-edited. So there'll be loads of awkward pauses, mistakes. But because it makes it easier on me, Glenn, it really will, because I'm not spending 6 hours editing the podcast anymore. No way.
Also, if we make any mistakes, that's it. Everyone's going to hear it.
Exactly. I'm going to leave all those wonderful mistakes in. Sometimes I will cut out the mistakes if it distracts from the overall podcast and stick them towards the end of the podcast. You know, like little outtakes. I don't know how many people, Glenn, actually listen to the outtakes at the end of the show, but we normally have outtakes at the end of the show.
And sometimes they're quite long.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll have a lot more of them left in. Now, so Glenn, let me ask you those immortal words. What have you been up to?
Not awful lot. What I did last weekend, I went over to a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a catch-up with the friends and play a bit of games. I'll explain that later.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went out to a festival. Now, there's a festival out in Leeds. It's called the Kirkstall Abbey Festival. They have all sorts of stuff there, like dog shows and bird shows. And they also have tents with all sorts of stuff and people selling stuff. Although, it's not really game-related, because I'm not seeing anything to do with games. There's only one game that you kick a football through a hole. Yeah. And that's about it, really. But the show was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff around. Just showing there's nothing game-related there.
Well, gaming-related, though. I sent you like a text message. You know, there is a retro gaming shop, apparently, in Leeds, near where you live, apparently.
Yeah, I just checked out the website. And, yeah, it's only about... If I get in the car, it's probably about half an hour drive from where I live.
You know what, I think it's fantastic, and I think for next time when we do record, hopefully you would have paid them a little visit and just told them about how amazing Retro Asylum is, and that you're from the UK's number one retro gaming podcast.
Yeah, spread the word.
Right, so let me quickly tell you a little bit what I've been up to, then I'll ask you what you've been playing. Now, I'll tell you what I've been up to, Glenn. I have gone and visited a retro gaming shop called Retro Base. Now, me and you talked about this on the previous podcast, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we did. I remember.
Now, what's his name? Tony from Retro Resistance. He did like a really interesting write-up on them, took some photographs and did a nice little article on the site about it. I was meant to go with him originally that day, but I couldn't because I think I was just shattered and tired. So basically, I decided to go the other day. And I tell you what, Glenn, it's a great little shop. Retro Base is basically based in London, in Streatham, and it's just opposite Streatham Common. And Glenn, this shop really sort of made me think, wow, we need more shops like this because it's really well put together. And you know, the best thing is, Glenn, not just the retro stuff, it's the staff.
So have they got all sorts of rare stuff and stuff you don't really see very often, like a Jaguar CD-ROM, stuff like that?
Yeah, they've got loads of stuff. Before I tell you what sort of things they have, Glenn, I'll tell you the reason why I think it's important that you have good stuff. Now, not only are these guys knowledgeable, I think for me, there's nothing worse than going to a shop that's meant to be selling a particular item or dealing with certain things, and then the staff not knowing anything, because that really normally upsets me. But these guys knew exactly what they were talking about, you know, and I think that adds more to it. They're people like me and you, Glenn, people that love retro games, people that are passionate about retro games, and these guys certainly knew the stuff. And I was watching them, Glenn. They were fixing machines that were broken, putting them, you know, soldering things, putting wires in here and there.
Well, they're fixing old machines like Commodore 64s and Amstrads and stuff.
You know what, Glenn? That's exactly what I was going to say. They've got Commodore 64, Amstrads, ZX80s. They've even got like a big Street Fighter 2 arcade machine. They've got machines that you can basically play there, you know, that have all been plugged in.
Is it free play?
It is free play.
Oh, that's really good.
Oh, actually, no, Glenn, I don't know if it is free play, but I'm sure if we asked nicely, they probably would do it free play. But yeah, it's a great shop, Glenn, and I highly recommend that if you live in the London area, definitely check out Retro Base. And like Glenn said in the previous podcast, these guys have also got an eBay shop, and I'd highly recommend that you check it out. Now,
one question I want to ask you about the shop, Andy. When you walk into the shop, what's the decoration like in the shop? Is it everything all jammed and packed together, or is it very nicely laid out and the shop's nice laid out, nice carpet? You know, the shop has a nice atmosphere to it. What's it actually like that way?
So basically, it's a pretty, I wouldn't say it's a little shop, and I wouldn't say it's an overly big shop. Just imagining the store. Okay, you walk into the shop. On the left-hand side, if memory serves me right, you've got like a little sofa. And then on the left-hand side on the wall, they've got a shelf with a couple of consoles, an N64 TV screen and a few other consoles. Just in front of that, you've got the Street Fighter 2 arcade machine. On the right-hand side, you've got the Commodore 64, the ZX Spectrum 48K, 128K, Plus 2, and a bunch of Amiga games. As you walk further down, on the left-hand side, you've got the counter. Just on the side of the counter, you've got N64 games, Atari 2600 games. On the right-hand side, you've got... I'm trying to remember now. I can't remember what games they've got there, but Glenn. But they've got loads of box NESs, Ataris, loads of different consoles, and they've got some truly amazing things, Glenn. If you actually ever come down to this, Glenn, you really need to come down, honestly.
So whereabouts is it in the centre of London?
No, it's in South London.
Oh.
South London, not too far where my mum lives. So it's definitely worth checking out. If you ever come down, Glenn, I'll take you down there. And the greatest thing is, Glenn, I will be... I was going to save this for this site announcement. Hopefully, I will be interviewing these guys at some point. We'll talk about how they got into gaming. We're going to talk to them about how they started up the shop, their eBay shop. Because I think shops like this are really important in retro gaming.
Well, we are people like selling old games and old consoles. We never could get our hands on the stuff again because a lot of people sold them and they're gone and either broken and thrown in the bin. It's nice to have this.
Definitely, Glenn. And that's the reason why I think it's so important that you check out the one in Leeds, so that way you can give us a little bit of feedback. Now, I will tell you a little bit more about my trip to Retrobase in a second. I just want to find out from you, Glenn, what have you been up to?
What I've been playing?
Yeah, what have you been playing? Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm tired.
Well, we've been playing a game called Bomberman Battlefest. Have you ever played that? And it's on the Xbox 360.
No, I've got one of the
Have you ever played that, Andy?
Tell us about this Bomberman game then, Glenn.
Well, it's just like the Bomberman Live, but you have some good hidden extras, like you have extra power bombs, those big dangerous bombs that could blow up. You used to only get one of them on the level, but now you can collect multiples of them. So you can virtually blow up nearly the whole screen and kill your enemies. Mm-hmm. You also have a bomb that's like a rocket, and it shoots towards the blocks.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really good game, especially when you have more people playing it. You know, you playing it by yourself, it's not half as fun as playing with other people.
Totally, totally. I mean, you can play against the computer AI, Glenn, but it's never quite the same as when you play with other people. Now, how many people will play in this game, then?
All three. There's my friend, my girlfriend, and me. And guess who won?
Your girlfriend?
Me!
Oh, you won.
I won every time.
You know why? That's because you've got skill, Glenn.
I got skill at Bomberman. Was really, really close at the last round. I think my friends got 8.
Yeah.
You needed 9 to win. I had 9 and my girlfriend had 4 points.
I'll tell you what, Bomberman is absolutely perfect. It's a fantastic game. Absolutely fantastic. Now, I'm going to mention something about Bomberman in a second as well, Glenn. So if I don't mention Bomberman, you need to remind me. So what else have you been playing then, Glenn? Any other classic retro games?
Not really retro. I've been playing Limbo because my friend's got a game called Limbo. I think you've completed that, have you, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to talk about it really because it's more modern game, but it has got like an 8-bit feel to it because it's a black and white monochrome game and you basically, it's a little platformer, like a platform puzzle game.
It's really funny because there was this one point where, you have to jump across onto a ladder and up above you there's like a glowing maggot. And it jumps right onto your head, and you can't control yourself. The maggot controls you, and I'm like, how do you pass this? Yeah. And you really had to sit down and think, you have to push the cardboard box to the end, and you have to jump onto the platform. Then the maggot decides to go the other way, and that's how you pass that stage.
Well, I definitely recommend, you know, like to people that to check that game out. There is a game actually on the ZX Spectrum and on the PC. On the Spectrum, it's called Alter Ego, Glenn. Now, I would load this up. Actually, it's even on the PC. It's a very simple game. It's a modern game with a retro feel to it because it came out in the ZX Spectrum as well. And you control two players at the same time. It feels like Limbo because there's so many puzzle elements, but you're actually controlling yourself and your alter ego. So if you're going left, he's going right. If you're going up, he's going down. So I'd recommend that game as well. All right, Glenn, let me tell you what I've been playing. Now, going back to Retrobase, I ended up buying myself a few little bits and bobs from Retrobase, Glenn.
What did you buy, Andy?
Right, so I couldn't help it. I went down with a little bit of cash, and I bought myself an N64, Glenn. I was so happy.
What game did you get with it?
Well, I only got one game, which was Mario 64, Glenn, and I'll tell you what,
That's a game to get.
It's superb, Glenn. It's absolutely fantastic. Did you actually ever have this and play this, Glenn?
I borrowed an N64 and played it, and I tell you, Mario 64 sold the N64. Without Mario 64, I don't think the N64 would have sold half as well. That game advertised in the N64, and I found a shame. After Mario 64, there was not any other game that really showed off the N64 as well as Mario 64.
I've got to slightly disagree with you, Glenn. Now, I think as flagship games go, when a console comes out, that was the perfect game to be released for it. Because when you look at the other games that did get released at the same time, they weren't quite as good. You had Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire. It's all right. You had Turok, Dark Hunter.
That was all right.
Okay. But later on, Glenn, on the N64, and we need to do a podcast dedicated to the N64 at some point, there were some superb games, Glenn. You had games like Banjo-Kazooie. You had games like Diddy Kong Racing, which was amazing, Glenn, absolutely amazing. In my opinion, it's probably better than Mario 64. You had some truly remarkable games like F-Zero X, and it was superb, Glenn.
But I still don't believe it still didn't go above the hype of Mario 64. It somehow stalled to me.
No, I mean, have you played Banjo-Kazooie?
I haven't played that, but I played GoldenEye. That was a good game.
You see, GoldenEye, for me, I quite enjoyed, Glenn, but I was more of a platforming fan. I didn't become a first-person shoot-em-up fan, really, until I got my Xbox 360. I was never a big fan. I think the most fun I got out of those games were, like, playing, like, Duke Nukem or Doom, which were done really nicely on the N64, even though they were made a bit more family-friendly. But anyway, let me tell you what else I got myself. I got myself a GameCube controller, because I got given a GameCube, I think, last month. And I bought myself a GameCube memory card. And I also bought myself the Zelda collection on the GameCube. And I'm so happy I got that, Glenn. I love my Zelda games. And it's got two of my favorite Zelda games ever. It's got Ocarina of Time. And it's also got Majora's Mask. Now, have you actually ever played Ocarina of Time, Glenn?
I haven't, but I do have a GameCube, and I remember buying it when it first released.
Right. Let me ask you, how come you've never played Ocarina of Time?
I never really got into Zelda games. For in fact, I never really played them, so I should really start playing them. I consider myself a retro gamer. I never really play Zelda games.
Wow. You've never played a Zelda game?
I might have, but just have not really got into them. I should really play them more.
You know what, Glenn? Okay, I reckon I'm going to set you a little mission. What systems do you actually own, Glenn?
For Nintendo.
Super Nintendo, N64. Do you own any of those?
I have a Super Nintendo and GameCube in the loft.
Right, okay. Now, maybe you could try an emulation. I mean, the Zelda games, I think probably the GameCube one and the N64, very good ones, because the GameCube one is just a port of the N64. But Glenn, if anything, I think Ocarina of Time eclipses Mario 64 in terms of gameplay, graphics. Honestly, it's such an amazing game, Glenn. It's so simple to get into, and once you get into it, it's impossible to put down, because it really plays with your emotions. You get really attached to the character, the story. You travel back in time, forward in time. It's honestly, Glenn, I cannot believe you haven't played it. And I think you should sit down and play that game, Glenn. You really should.
I think the games I'm going to avoid is the CDI ones. Have you ever seen those on YouTube?
Glenn. No, Glenn, no, those are not worth playing, Glenn. They're really poor. They give Zelda a bad name. But the N64 games, Glenn, they're a classic. The other one that's on the CD collection I bought is Majora's Mask, and this one's a little bit underrated. I truly think Majora's Mask is way better than Ocarina of Time. It took it to a different level. It's darker, creepier. In that game, Glenn, the world is going to end because the moon's going to crash into the planet, and you've got, I think, 3 days to save it. And if you don't stop the moon from crashing on Earth in 3 days, it's game over. But luckily, you can travel back to the first day. You can forward to the second day or the third day.
So if you sit down and just don't do anything for 3 days, that's it. You're dead.
Yeah. But I tell you what, Glenn, honestly, right. Zelda games you must play. You must play Link's Awakening on the Game Boy. Play that one, I recommend. It's easy for you to get into. I'd recommend that one first. Then I would say play A Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo. And then I would say try Ocarina of Time on the N64, Glenn. Because, honestly, you will not be able to put that game down, Glenn. It's that damn good. It's probably the best N64 game ever. So, yeah, I bought myself a couple of bits and bobs, Glenn.
What other bits of bobs did you buy, Andy? Anything
really good? That was, No, that was it. An N64, you know, with Mario 64. But I will get a few more games for my N64 at some point, definitely.
Probably, what's that game with that woman in? I've forgotten her name now.
Dark?
Yeah, Perfect Dark, that's
Perfect
it.
Perfect Dark, yeah.
That's a game to get as well. That was quite a good game for the N64.
I might check that out. I mean, that's out on the GameCube. The original, I think, is out, and they've also got the remake out on the Xbox 360. So anyway, let's wrap up this section.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
Right, do you
want to
go first or me?
Right, so, you know what, Glenn? Because I'm a bit sleepy and tired, I'll let you go first.
Well, do you remember a game on the Commodore Amiga by Teen 17 called Alien Breed?
Not Alan's Bread.
Not Alan's Bread, no. Very cheap Lidl's food, Alan's Bread. No, it's the proper stuff. It's Teen 17's Alien Breed. And it's good quality stuff.
Right, now, I never had an Amiga. I've got one now. I've got Alien Breed. Why don't you tell us about this? What's the site news?
Well, the site news is that Alien Breed is going to invade the iOS device this August, the iPhone.
Right, so are you excited about this, Glenn?
Well, I remember the Amiga version of this game, and I actually loved it. You're this man who's, it seems like you're this man who's trapped on the ship. You've got to go around and blast these aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it a really addictive game. It was a brilliant game for the Commodore Amiga.
What was it about this game that made it stand, you know, that made it stand head and shoulders above everything else? Why did you like it? And I know it was done by Team 17, and like Denaris said in the podcast, they specialised and taking certain formats of certain games and putting their own twist on it. Why did this game appeal to you?
It's the atmosphere of the game. It's the darkness, the sound in the background. It's really, you know, you hear all the machines and things go in the background, and it's the weaponry. You know, you fire the weaponry, the aliens blow up, and it was. I found it a really addictive game. It was also very challenging as well at parts.
Now, is this going to be a direct port of the Amiga game, or is it a remake HD version of it?
It's going to be a HD version.
Right, okay.
Version of it. So, and it, by the pictures of it, it looks like the Amiga version, but done up HD, and that's just the way I like it. I would not like it made into 3D, because I think they made some kind of 3D version for the PS3 and Xbox 360, and it was all right. But I would prefer playing this version.
Now, do you think it'll work well on the iPhone control? Do you think that will lose some of its appeal?
We only can wait and see, because some games are pretty good on the iPhone and respond well, but some games could improve on the controls, like Sonic Racers. Did you get that free?
Oh, I did, and I didn't really bother playing.
Yeah, it was
rubbish.
Control. It just didn't control very well. So
no.
Let's see how they make the controls. I did see controls very well.
Yeah, I think certain games will be easy, like Lemmings. It's point and click. Like games like Monkey Island, it's point and click. Certain games, I think, suit the iPhone, but when you have to control your character, I don't know, what's it called, that joystick? The analog fake joystick that appears on the screen? It's not good, really, is it?
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't sense your finger very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I think I'll probably get it. If it's only a couple of pounds, I'd definitely worth getting it, Glenn. I, any excuse to get any retro game for me.
Hey, well, if you got it on your Amiga, I think you said you did.
Yeah.
Check it out. Plug your Amiga into the wall and check out that game, because it is a good game.
Right, actually, so let me quickly tell you my bit of site news, Glenn. Now, going back to Retrobase again. Guess what, Glenn? The lads from Retrobase have got a video gaming night.
Where's the video gaming night?
Let me send you a link. And like I said, guys, I am not, what's it called, going to edit all this stuff out. I'm going to just do it pretty much live, because I've been spending too much time editing, so what I've just done, I've just sent Glenn a link to this.
And I just received it.
So while Glenn's having a look at that, let me quickly tell you a little bit about it. It's called Throwback Club Video Game Night. It's on Saturday, the 28th of July. So it will be the following week after this podcast comes out on the Saturday. Now, it's £4 in advance and £7 tickets on the door. It starts at 8 p.m. and it finishes at 3 p.m. Now, this is being done by the guys from Retrobase, and it's definitely worth checking out. Let me quickly read what it says. It says, Hambake Arcade present Retro Game Base, a nostalgic trip back to the 90s era of video games. Hambaked Arcades will be providing a large number of original playable consoles, including SNES, Mega Drive, Dreamcast, Saturn, PS1, and N64. In addition, there'll be arcade cabinets to play, as well as multiplayer classics, including Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Simpsons, NBA Jam, on a cinema screen, Glenn. Can you believe that?
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
Also expect Bomberman, Sonic, Mario Kart, Street Fighter 2, Time Crisis, GoldenEye, and there's going to be loads more. How amazing does that sound, Glenn?
That sounds like a game in heaven to me.
It does. It does. It sounds like pure gaming heaven. And you know what, Glenn? I'm going to this. If anyone else on the Retro Asylum is free on the 28th of July and would like to go to Bloomsbury Lanes, and this is in central London, let me know and I'll meet up with you guys there, because I'm definitely going to go to this because I want to play all these arcades. And they're going to have like a nightclub there as well, and that's why it stays open till 3 a.m. So I'm going to get nicely drunk, play retro games, and if you're there, hey, let's play some video games, basically.
Yeah, it looks... I tell you, the Mega Drive, SNES, Saturn, PS1, N64, God, they had pretty loads of good games, especially now, the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, now, you know you mentioned Bomberman, Glenn.
Yeah.
Now, the guy from, I think it was Tom, from Retrobase, he told me he's going to be playing the ultimate version of Bomberman there. He's going to have it on the Saturn, and I think it's up to 12 players, I think, isn't it?
Oh, that... The whole screen's going to blow up, Andy.
You know what? I'm going to have such chaos on that day. It's going to be absolutely fun. So again, yeah, check out Retrobase, their club night, Throwback Club, on the 28th of July, Central London. I'm going to post something on the site about this, so that way you guys can check it out. Now, I've got another retro event, Glenn, coming up. Let me bring this up. Here we go. It's called The Seventh Generation. They've got like a gaming night in Essex, not too far from where I live. And this is on the 1st of September. Now, what used to be called Gamer Disco... Sorry, they used to be called Nintendo Disco. They're called Gamer Disco now. And again, it's pretty much similar to this event that I just mentioned earlier, Glenn. They're going to have FIFA 12, Pong, GoldenEye, Street Fighter, Mario Kart, Mortal Kombat... And there's going to be music, dancing. Hey, these things are becoming the norm now. How amazing is that, Glenn?
Do you know, it's absolutely brilliant. And do you know what? I forgot to mention this right at the beginning of the podcast, but I actually got Mortal Kombat 1 for my Super Nintendo for £3 from the market.
Ooh, £3. That's really good, mate.
£3. You know, do you know, it was just raining that day at the market. He looked like he was having a bad day. He even covered up all his games with plastic. I just lifted it up. There was a bunch of Super Nintendo games. I didn't say how much was Mortal Kombat. I said, how much is your SNES games? And he says, oh, I'm having a bit of a bad day. I just said, £3. And I looked through and said, hey, Mortal Kombat 1. Ah, yeah, I had that for £3.
Did they have any other good games there?
To be honest, when I was looking through them, there was Nigel Mansell.
No.
There was Street Racer. You know, and I thought, nah, I just have the Mortal Kombat. That's brilliant.
Yeah, no, that's good, because it's a good-looking game. It just hasn't got the blood, Glenn. It just hasn't got the blood like the Mega Drive version. Right, so anyway, that's our site news all rounded up. And like I said, guys, please, please, please let me know if you're going to this video game night on the 28th of July, because I'm certainly going to go there and I'm going to get nicely drunk. So see you there, guys. We'll be right back.
Hello everybody, this is Damien and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
Our next section is, Glenn, the Andy versus Glenn Music Challenge.
All right, who wants to go first, me or you? Shall I let you go first this time?
No. I think I'm going to let you go first. Before we go any further, let's quickly tell everyone. I've told you, Glenn, today's Andy versus Glenn Music Challenge is going to be PS1 related.
Yeah, PlayStation 1 related. And this will be interesting because this is really one of the first game systems to have CD quality music.
Right, yeah. Now, the reason why I've decided to do this particular PS1, it is because it's CD quality music. And the topic of the month later on will be about like the evolution of music in gaming. So anyway, Glenn, tell us what your track is called or who made it, from what game it's from, and why you like this particular track, and then we'll play it.
It was Destruction Derby 2 main menu theme for the PlayStation 1.
Right, okay, I cannot remember it. I'll look for it, then I'll edit it in a bit. But why this particular track, Glenn? Why did you choose this?
You know, when you first start up the game, you know, the game's all about you got to smash and crash all the cars to get through to first place. And you don't care who's going to get hurt. You just got to get there first place, you know, even if everybody's dead. And that's the kind of thing I like about Destruction Derby 2. And that's why I like this music at the beginning. It gives the sound of, do you dare to play this game and do the challenge? And it's a really dark kind of music, and it's really soft at the beginning, then the load of guitars come into it. It's a really powerful tune. I really do enjoy it.
All right then, guys, so what we're going to do, we're going to play Glenn's choice of music, which was done from Destruction Derby 2. And again, guys, the way this works is, once a podcast comes out, please comment as well, you know, if you enjoyed the show, but also tell us which tune you preferred, Glenn's tune or my tune. So enjoy Glenn's track. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Now, Glenn, mine is a little bit different. I know a few people from the site will is going to like my choice. My music is taken from Castlevania Symphony of the Night on the PlayStation. Now,
okay, Andy, why you like this tune very much?
Have you ever played this game at all? Game Symphony of the Night.
I've heard of it, but I've never played it.
Oh my God, Glenn! You call yourself a retro gamer? Because by that time,
I mainly play PC games.
Okay, Glenn. Glenn, this probably has to be one of the best sounding games ever, and in my opinion, it's one of the best Castlevania games ever. I think it is the best Castlevania game ever, Glenn. Now, the reason why this game worked, not only was it a superb game, Glenn, the music was just out of this world. It was really beautiful, really haunting. I can't remember who composed this, but all the tracks on this game are memorable and really added so much to this game. Now, I can't remember the name of the track, but I hope you enjoy this, guys. And then again, like I said, let us know which tune you preferred, Glenn's one or my one. Enjoy. Move on to our next section.
It is gaming music.
Right, so now the way this is going to work, guys, we're not going to go into like every single little bit of detail, but it's more of a conversation really that I wanted to have with Glenn. Now, gaming music has certainly evolved from the early 80s, like from machines like Pong, Donkey Kong, to more modern consoles, really. So let's talk about this thing, Glenn. So what's your first memory of music in gaming that really stood out for you and why?
I probably will have to say my first ever memory was probably Rainbow Island.
Right, okay. And so that was on the C64.
That was
so
on the Commodore 64.
On the SID chip then?
Yeah, on the SID chip. And the Commodore 64 out of the 8-bit machine certainly did have the best sound.
Yeah, because the SID chip was like a synthesizer sort of sound to it. It really just, it had by far the best sounding, you know, music chip. So it's a good place to start, Glenn, because the C64 is really memorable for that, and it had loads of classic musicians like Rob Hubbard, Ben Dugleish, and loads of other guys creating music for the C64. And there's some of the all-time classics.
And even if you see some of the demos that people made on the Commodore 64, you really see what they can do with a SID chip. And they put a bit of sample sound in, they put the SID chip and all its music capabilities on, and you can't believe it comes from a Commodore 64.
So what are some of your other favourite sounding C64 games in, Glenn?
Well, I've got to say, Outrun, Bubble Bobble, Outrun Europe, that had a great tune at the beginning of it. And I think there's also, I think I played the Outrun USA, that had a great tune to it. And Midnight Resistance, that had a fantastic tune to it. And Nightbreed had a great song at the beginning.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is, Glenn, I'd say most of the games you mentioned there were all arcade conversions. Now, to me, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a way how to structure this, because when you go back in time, Pong didn't have any music at all. All it was a bat and ball, and it had a little sound effect when you hit the ball, when it bounced off the corners. But that little sound, Glenn, added atmosphere to the game. It really enhanced it. And as the games moved on, like, say, Space Invaders, you had that dum, 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 and you had the little shooting sound effects as well.
But that's all it was, isn't it? There wasn't any music that enhanced the game in the background. It was just like, dud, 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 dud.
I've got to disagree. For me, back in the days, I must have been about 4 or 5. That really upped the drama for me, Glenn, because as I'm playing, and then it goes faster, dum 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 dum. That really made me think, it's like, oh crap, they're moving faster, and the whole music added more tension towards the gameplay. And although they're very primitive sounding music, it certainly helped elevate it to a different level, I feel.
You see, I liked Donkey Kong. You know that, duh, 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 and he walks up and he climbs up the ladders.
Yeah.
You know, that was great. You know, I love the background tune to that.
Yeah, and again, Glenn, it's very simple, it's very basic, but it works and it helps really make the game seem a lot better. Now, earlier on, before we recorded, you brought up an interesting topic, Glenn. What was it you said, Glenn, about playing games without music or something?
I just say, could you imagine F-Zero and Donkey Kong Country without music in it? It would make the game half as good. The music enhanced the game. It certainly did.
Yeah, completely, totally agree with you. Or playing a game like Wipeout on the PlayStation, playing it without sounds, it would lose something, and I think loads of these games would lose some sort of emotion, really. Even going back to some of the earlier games, actually, Glenn, because I remember let's pick a game on the ZX Spectrum on C64. Robocop, for example, sounds great on the C64 and the ZX Spectrum. What would that game sound like without any music?
It will lose its atmosphere. It just loses its atmosphere to me.
Yeah.
It definitely would.
But don't you think it's amazing, Glenn, how these music composers manage to bring out such amazing quality sound on these 8-bit computers? Because when you think about it, the C64 and Amstrad and Spectrum were really simple machines. Especially the ZX Spectrum, the AY chip wasn't that fantastic, but they really just made that work somehow.
And, look at the first Spectrum chip.
Yeah, the beeper?
Just beeps, isn't it? It's just beep, 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 beep.
Now, I think one of the first games that actually had music on the ZX Spectrum was A Manic Miner. And again, that was like Matthew Smith. I don't know how he managed to do that. But it really sounded pretty good. You listen to it now.
It sounds out of tune.
It does sound out of tune. But I think it was the way he got round to using the beeper that actually worked. But again, Glenn, I can't imagine playing that game without the music. Because I find that really helps, certainly, you know, to the game.
But I still say this now. When I play the Commodore 64 games, I really appreciate the SID chip, because it was a big part of the system. I don't think without the SID chip, it wouldn't be as good.
I don't think it would have been as good, Glenn. So, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why it did so well. Its sound chip was so much better than the Spectrum and the Amstrad. If it didn't have the SID chip, I think it wouldn't have done as well. I think the first time I really started getting into music on certain consoles was on the Super Nintendo and Mega Drive days. Now, the Mega Drive sound chip isn't as good as the Super Nintendo sound chip, but certain games, Glenn, they sound amazing on the Mega Drive. If you play a game like Thunder Force 3 or Thunder Force 4, those musicians, Glenn, are just I just feel like, wow, it's very rock music, guitar solos. Games like Gunstar Heroes, those musicians that made the music for these games, just out of this world, Glenn.
How shall I explain this? I think Nintendo was a lot better. The Super Nintendo was a lot better with softer music.
Yeah.
But Mega Drive was better with come on kind of music, a lot of guitars, time of music.
Yeah.
Like Sonic, the music, it's a lot more come on, let's get on with it kind of thing. Such as Mario is a bit more softer, a bit more slower kind of music. I think that's the kind of thing I get from it.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I was blown away by the music on the Super Nintendo, Glenn. As much as I liked the music on the 8-bit NES and the 8-bit Sega Master System, the Super Nintendo, the first time I played Super Mario World, the music in the castle, it sounded like an organ. Dun, 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 dun. It was creepy. It really just...
I don't think that will sound half as good on the Mega Drive.
No, I don't think so, but I think certain tunes sounded better on the Mega Drive, like Streets of Rage and Streets of Rage 2, Glenn. They're probably some of the best soundtracks in any game, even if you compare it to nowadays. I love those tracks on Streets of Rage games. It's some of the best music I've actually ever heard. So, yeah, and the way music evolved, I think it used to be sort of like MIDI type sounds, and then it evolved into the PS1 where it was CD quality sounds, and that really took it to a whole different level.
Yeah, especially like games with Destruction Derby and Destruction Derby 2 and Wipeout. They really use the CD quality very well on those games.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Games like Wipeout, what was it? Wipeout 2097 had music by, was it Orbital and The Prodigy, and I found it just out of this world when I first heard that. I was thinking, oh my god, it's CD quality. It's just like listening to it in a CD player, and you've got these big names, and that sound is coming out of my console. That's when I thought, wow, it really has taken music and audio to a different level altogether.
I think the best way they used CD and audio was in GTA 1. You know, when you get into different cars, and right, it played different music.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get out of cars and get into a police car, it plays the police soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I think they used the CD and all the tracks very well in that game.
But the question I want to ask you, Glenn, do you think the audio... I think people could be a lot more adventurous back in the olden days, whereas now it's just a lot easier. It's just like, oh, we'll get this soundtrack and put it into a game. Whereas before, it would be like, you know what, we're going to get this Ben Dalglish or Rob Hubbard to create music for a game, like Last Ninja on the C64.
Oh, that was fantastic. Especially Last Ninja 2, the loading up sequence. That was epic.
And that's what I feel. Don't get me wrong, I love the music on the PS1s, the Sega Saturn. But I feel because it's CD quality, it's just basically, it's different sort of feel to like the earlier consoles. I think the last console that had music which was almost CD quality but not quite was the N64.
Yeah, you're right. I wasn't going to mention, I notice that music does really enhance a game, especially when you play Atari ST game and Amiga game.
Okay, well give us an example then, Glenn.
Well, when you like Pay Turrican,
yeah,
the Amiga music to that game, it's absolutely fantastic. It's brilliant on your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play the Atari ST game, it just goes down the toilet because the Atari ST, the sound chip's so inferior to the Commodore Amigas, it's unbelievable. It almost, sometimes I think the SID chip sounds better than the Atari ST.
Well, I was going to say, the Atari ST sound music chips kind of reminds me of the ZX Spectrum in a way.
Yeah, that really puts Atari ST down for me, and that's what makes the Amiga better for me, simply because the Amiga just had a lot better sound.
Well, that was the thing, like Denaris covered on the his podcast when he mentions how the Amiga had the whole demo scene, how the Amiga music scene was just there. You had guys, oh, I can't remember what his name was now. Oh, God, I can't remember what his name is. Who basically did loads of classic tunes as well. And the Amiga had games like for me, I know it. I haven't played these games, but I've seen it on YouTube. Games like Monkey Island.
Yeah.
The music in Monkey Island is just so damn catchy. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Have you played Project X? That had a really good music in it, and it had a when you play the game, it had a really dark atmosphere when you play the game. It's like a sound, it's like a tune in the background. It was absolutely brilliant.
No, I completely agree. I think the first time I played Project X was last year when we went to Replay Expo. They had it there, and then basically told my supervisor about it, and he's like, I used to work with this guy that used to be a bit of a retro fan as well, and he played it on his laptop at work, and we both played it, and again, the music was just mind-blowing, absolutely fantastic. So give us an example then of music enhancing a game then, so, you know, set up a scene, you know, where it really has worked.
Oh, really, you put me on the spot there, because how would you mean a game without the sound? Have I played a game without a sound and I think, oh no, it's not very good?
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned something like Wipeout. I mean, for me, Glenn, I'll give you an example to give you an idea. Playing a game like, I don't know, I've confused myself now. Okay, a game like Quick Snacks on the ZX Spectrum. Now, if you take away that amazing music, right, because the ZX Spectrum had amazing music, had amazing cutscenes, but if you take away that amazing music, what you've got is a decent game, but it loses a lot of that impact. It just becomes just another average game. But because the music was so damn amazing, it elevated it and made it a really good game.
I got a game that even wipes Quick Snacks for that.
Go on then.
And it's a game that not a lot of people played because it was on a fairly failed system, but it was absolutely fantastic for the system. Tempest 2000 on the Atari Jaguar. The music on that game was absolutely fantastic. It sounded CD quality almost on the Atari Jaguar. And and like you say, if they take the music away from Tempest 2000, it wouldn't be half as good. The music was absolutely fantastic. If you ever play Atari Jaguar, play Tempest 2000 and listen to the music. It's fantastic.
All right, I've got another example, Glenn. It was Silent Hill on the PS1. Now, Silent Hill was like an alternative to sort of like Resident Evil, where Resident Evil was like more gore, jump out in your face, horror with zombies. Silent Hill was more subliminal in a way. It was more, it played with your emotions psychologically in a way. It was creepier. And the music is probably some of the best music in any sort of games out there. It's creepy, it's beautiful, it's haunting. And if I played that game without that music, again, it would strip away a lot of the fear and emotion. You know, a lot of people say games like Chrono Trigger are on the Super Nintendo, you know, because that game, Glenn, Chrono Trigger on the Super Nintendo, it's got so much music, Glenn. It's probably got some of the most amazing music on a Super Nintendo. And the most music in a Super Nintendo. If you take away that music, you're left with a good RPG, but would it work as well? I don't know. All right, let me give you another example then. All right, a game like Double Dragon. You know how catchy that music is in Double Dragon?
Double Dragon.
How would that have worked without the music?
Very poorly.
Yeah, it would have been just another beat 'em up, you know. And if it hadn't been for those composers that had created a really catchy tune, it helped with the game. It really did. So I honestly think in gaming is just really helps a lot. You need a good musician. You need it to work well for it to help to elevate the game, I guess.
Just can imagine Bubble Bobble without music even. I know I mentioned Bubble Bobble.
Wow. A perfect example, Glenn. Perfect example. Bubble Bobble. That music is ultra catchy. Oh, Glenn, I think my wife's just arrived. So anyway, I'll tell you what, Glenn. I think what we'll have to do is wrap up this section.
Oh.
All right then, guys. Yep, so we're going to have to start rounding this podcast up because I think my missus has just arrived.
All right. Well, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody who listens to us and thank you for supporting us.
Yeah, and I'd like to say a thanks to everyone as well. I'd like to say thank you to Retro Resistance, Odd Pod, everyone on the admin team on the Retro Asylum, I'd like to thank you, Glenn, Swaney, and everyone on the Retro Asylum podcast. Now, if you guys are wondering, it's like, oh, this podcast ended kind of sudden. It's just because, like, you know, my wife's just arrived home, and I try not to do my retro geekiness when she's around. But I think we've got one hell of a podcast there, Glenn. I've really enjoyed doing it, as always. We've nearly reached episode 20, which is pretty much a good landmark.
Yeah, Randy, and I tell you, it's brilliant to talk to you.
Okay, then, mate. So, yeah, guys, don't forget, subscribe and leave us iTunes reviews, because it really helps us, makes us happy. And, yeah, we'll see you next time with episode 20... No, I'll start again. We'll start again with episode 19 and a half. See you next time, guys. Goodbye.
Bye. See you later, everybody. Thank you.